Hi everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. Today we're looking at a fairly famous passage of Jesus calming the storm. So let's start by reading the passage. It's Mark chapter 4, and then we'll have a look at the meaning of some of the key ideas. What's Mark trying to convey? So Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. With the coming of evening, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." And, leaving the crowd behind, they took him just as he was in the boat, and there were other boats with him. Then it began to blow a gale, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that it was almost swamped. But he was in the stern, his head on the cushion, asleep. They woke him and said to him, "Master, do you not care? We are going down." And he woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Quiet now, be calm." And the wind dropped and all was calm again. Then he said to them, "Why are you so frightened? How is it that you have no faith?" They were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who can this be? Even the wind and the sea obey him." So verse 35, at the start here, it says, "With the coming of evening." Or a better translation here that makes it a bit clearer in terms of the timing is on that day when evening had come. So this event has happened on the same day that Mark has just narrated before this. And the thing that Mark told us about just before this was Jesus' sermon on the sea, where he tells all those parables about the seeds. So that's what he's just been talking about. And now it's the very same night. And evening has come. Jesus says to them, "Let us go across to the other side." So this is Jesus' initiative here. So in terms of geography, he's been preaching on the shore of Capernaum, which is on the western side of the Sea of Galilee. And he's just said, let's cross the sea. So they're going to go to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, which is a predominantly Gentile area. So this is the first time in Mark that Jesus is moving towards Gentile area. He'll do that a few times, though. So the lake, or the Sea of Galilee, it's not that big. It's actually only about 7 or 8 miles across. You can easily see to the other side. So it normally wouldn't take all that long to cross. So it's possible that Jesus knows that the storm is about to happen. It's possible, because he doesn't give a reason as to why they should cross. So maybe he sees the storm coming and he wants the apostles to go through it. That's possible, but we don't really know. Verse 36, they took him with them just as he was in the boat. So the apostles, the disciples collect Jesus. They didn't collect any supplies or do any preparations. It says that they took him with them just as he was. So they just started crossing the boat. They got in the boat and left. Notice it also says, "and other boats were with him." So often in pictures of this, in fact, pretty much all the time in pictures of this event, you'll see it as just like one boat that's being tossed around in the sea. There's several boats involved here. So probably his disciples are in one boat with him, and then the rest of his inner circle, his close followers, are in other boats nearby, and so they all get caught in the storm together. Verse 37, then our translation in the lectionary says, "Then it began to blow a gale, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that it was almost swamped." It's probably a bit watered down translation. A more literal translation says, "A great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already filling." So you can hear sort of Mark's dramatic flair really painting the picture for us coming through. So the Sea of Galilee that they're on is a small lake, but it could have massive storms, and it still does today, because the wind would whip down the hills surrounding the Sea of Galilee on all sides. So you'd actually get these quite strong storms. And if you go there today to the Sea of Galilee, fishers will tell you that this does occur. They have really strong storms. Verse 38, but where's Jesus? He's in the stern, which is the back of the boat, and he's asleep. And lots has been written about the fact that Jesus is asleep. It's really showing Jesus' humanity, which is possibly a side we don't get to talk as much about. So probably why is he asleep? Because he's tired from, think about it, he's been all day, he's been preaching to the crowds in the hot Middle Eastern sun, so it makes sense that he's tired. And many scholars have pointed out the fact that Jesus can sleep through the storm is itself a miracle, really. And his untroubled sleep, in fact, shows his perfect trust in God. There's lots of Old Testament passages which talk about the man who has an untroubled sleep has God's favor. And so some scholars have seen a connection there, possibly. It says he has his head on the cushion. And so this is strong evidence that this story comes from an eyewitness. Remember, the main source for Mark's gospel is Peter. And you can really hear that coming through here as we hear that Jesus' head is on the cushion. And the disciples say to him, Master or teacher. This is the first time he's called teacher in Mark, but he has just been teaching for a full day, so that certainly makes sense. Teacher, do you not care? We are going down, or we are perishing. So the fact that the disciples are panicking indicates it's quite a serious storm. There's professional fishermen amongst them, and they would be used to storms. So perhaps there's a satanic element to this storm, possibly. Because the professional fishermen are freaking out. And why are the disciples saying, "Do you not care?" Well, the disciples know, because they've been with Jesus a little while, that Jesus should have the power to do something about it. They've seen him do miracles. So, from their perspective, it looks like he just doesn't care in this situation. This attitude of God's followers saying things like, "God, do you not care?" actually shows up in the Old Testament a little bit. So in Exodus 14, verse 10, there's this, God, do you not care? And it's a similar thing going on here with the apostles. So what's going on with Jesus? So in all likelihood, Jesus knew that God would preserve them and that the storm would pass and that they would be okay. And that's why he's not panicking and that's why he went to sleep, because he knows that in the end, they won't be harmed by the storm. Verse 39, so Jesus wakes up, he rebukes the wind. That word rebukes there possibly, although not definitely, but it possibly implies that the storm comes from Satan because he's rebuking the storm, which would make sense, but given that Jesus has just begun to preach the kingdom of God and that's all about overtaking the kingdom of Satan. So maybe Satan's trying to retaliate here by sending a storm. Mark doesn't record the words that Jesus uses to rebuke the wind. But he does record the words he uses on the sea, which is this, peace, be still. Or a more literal translation is be muzzled. So notice here, Jesus does not pray to God or the Father. He just commands the storm on his own authority, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So this echoes Psalm 107, verse 28-29, which says this, and you'll notice the similarity. In their distress, they cried to the Lord, who brought them out of their peril, hushed the storm to a murmur, the waves of the sea were stilled. So certainly this nature miracle that Jesus performs probably would have evoked in the disciples, or probably would have made them recall this particular psalm. So this miracle that Jesus does where he calms the storm shows to both the disciples and to Mark's readers, that Jesus has power over nature. So this would prompt all the readers and the hearers to think about Jesus' identity, because only God has that kind of power over nature. So this story, Mark has put it in there to make the readers think, oh, who is this? Is this, and that probably it's going to make them believe, or hopefully tip them more towards believing that he is the Son of God. Verse 40, Jesus says to the disciples, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" So it might seem a little bit harsh because most people would be afraid in a serious storm. But think about, what they've seen of Jesus. They should have known that they could trust Jesus. So by saying this, Jesus implies that the correct response for the apostles during the storm would have been to trust that God would preserve them through it. That was what he expected the apostles to do, rather than panic. So in this way, Jesus teaches the disciples that the storm is both under God's control and under his control. There's that sort of element of both of them coming through there. Or you could interpret this another way when Jesus says, "Have you no faith?" as in, "Have you no faith in him? Why don't you trust him?" Me, Jesus says. Jesus had called them to complete a task on the other side of the sea. Remember, it was his initiative. He said, let's go across to the other side of the sea. So you could interpret this as saying, well, the apostles should have known that Jesus would preserve them through it if he's going to call them to the other side of the sea in the first place. Verse 41, they were filled with awe, or literally, I like this translation, they feared a great fear. So their fear of nature is now replaced with a reverent fear of the presence of God in Jesus. They've just witnessed a man that can control nature, so they've got this kind of awe response. And they say amongst themselves, who then is this that even wind and sea obey him? So that who then is this phrase is key. Remember, one of the aims of Mark's gospel is to invite his readers to consider who they believe Mark is. Who do you say that I am? So this is one of those times that's going to make the readers think, as the disciples did, who is this guy? Also, this story would have been, remember, Mark selected which stories he wanted in and which ones he didn't think were relevant. He probably included this story because it would have been an encouragement to the early Christians who were around at the time Mark was writing. At the time Mark was writing, there was a small church, a struggling church, that felt as though they were being tossed around by the vast Roman Empire, and they're constantly amidst a storm of persecution. And to them, it would have seemed that Jesus is apparently asleep. So the message for those early Christians is that in the end, nothing can truly harm those who trust in Jesus. And possibly that's what they would have realized by reading this story. Okay, so that's our exegesis, and there's actually no links to this particular passage today, in the Catechism, that is, but if you look at Matthew's version, there are some references in the Catechism, and when we look at Matthew's version a bit later on in the podcast, you'll get to hear more about the Catholic teaching based on that passage. One other thing to say about this is the story we've just heard is the story of Jesus calming the sea. It's not the same story as when Jesus passes by and they think he's a ghost and he walks on the water. That's a different story, but sometimes people get them confused because they both involve a storm, but they are distinct. And we'll get to that other story of Jesus walking on water a bit later on in Mark's gospel. Thanks for listening. I hope you learned something new, and please keep sharing the podcast and talking to people about it so that we can all grow in our knowledge and love of the scriptures. We'll see you again tomorrow. Thank you.